All right, sorry. Last teaching, you have the notes? Okay. What time will lunch arrive?
12.
Okay. Do you want us to end early and just eat lunch or something?
Yes. Yes.
That's a good idea.
Maybe. Okay.
Okay. Well, I want to speak to you about the covenant names of God. Now, this is a practical outworking of knowing God as a covenant God. You know, what's in a name? The Hebrew concept of a name conveys the nature and essence and history and reputation of a person or thing named. Think about this. When in Exodus chapter 3, remember when the Lord appeared to Moses via the burning bush and told him, you know, I've seen the misery of my people. I want to deliver them. And what does Moses respond? Response. He said, okay, Lord, who should I say is sending me? So when Moses asked God what his name was, it wasn't so much him saying, what shall I call you? But he was really asking, who are you? What are you like? What have you done? In other words, he was wanting to know the character of the person, not just his name for having a label. And God's response was, I am. Now, according to Kevin Connor, I didn't refer this from his book, but another reference. He says that to understand a name in Hebrew does not mean simply to be acquainted with it, but to have experience and history with the person to whom the name belongs. I think it was here in the fort that I first heard about Vikings Restaurant. Okay, sa fort yata yun eh. Kasi kailan ba yun? Last year ba? Doon ba kayo ng Christmas? Oh, anyway.
Vikings.
So I've heard about Vikings. I've heard good things about Vikings. But I never really had the opportunity to experience Vikings until last month when Cavite had their 15th year anniversary, and I spoke, Pastor Joey and I, and their dinner was at Vikings. And let me tell you, that name began to take on a new meaning after I ate there.
Oh.
Okay. And so, just to let you know, last Monday, we were in Vikings again.
Wow.
Okay, because the Every Nation building had their party there. And, you know, it's interesting. Gigi qualified that this was approved by the apostolic team, by myself, representing the apostolic team. And I said, you know, when I heard about it, Vikings, no questions asked, let's do it, okay? Now, by the way, just for the record, according to them, actually the budget we had to have it in Vikings was actually smaller than if we had it in here. So I didn't get to say that anymore, but we're not being frivolous. We're being good stewards, but how many of you know that was a good deal, okay?
Yeah.
And the amazing news was this. Okay, there's a new Vikings in SM Marikina. That's a 5-minute drive from us. Hallelujah. And not only that, but I won't tell you this. Actually, I know the owner of Vikings. Not personally, but through a friend of ours from church. But I won't tell you who. But the person assured me every time we eat there, we can have a discount. Hallelujah. So, my point is, it's one thing to know a name, but it's one thing to have an experience.
Yeah.
And the name takes on a much more
galing.
Meaningful meaning.
Galing.
So, no, I mean, and this goes on and on and on. You know, those of you who have cars, It's one thing to say, you know, oh, I have a BMW or I want a BMW, but another thing to drive one, okay? At least in my older days, in my older single days, okay? Some of you heard that, right? When I was still with Citibank, I drove a BMW, but when I became a pastor, my father took away, so I had a VW. It's still European. Kaya na VW na, di ba? Volkswagen, okay? So anyway, so names, I think the point is clear. Names are significant. They're not just labels, but they capture in many ways the reputation, the character, the personality of who it is that name's given to. So, and we know this is true because when God answered Moses, he said, you know, I am. He referenced it by saying, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He was a God who had been there, the eternal God, and he had seen their suffering and he will deliver them. Okay? Now, the question is, why did God identify himself as such? You know, the word Jehovah, anyway, that's just bit of information for you, is actually the covenant name of God. By the way, the scriptures, I just learned this yesterday, this is something new I learned, at least from Kevin Connor, that the names of God are of two classifications, if you will. One is God as the creative God. The other one is God as a redemptive God. But both of those are still covenantal in its revelation. You're familiar with the phrase El, right? Yeah. Elohim, Emmanuel, El Shaddai, okay, all those. El is the creative name of God. Yahweh or Jehovah is the redemptive name of God. So, now both of those are important for us to get to know God in His fullness. But apparently there's a distinction in such. And in fact, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, both of those names are combined. Lord God is El and Jehovah, Yahweh, in the same breath. So you're aware that Jehovah and Yahweh are, you know, Yahweh is the Hebrew rendering. Jehovah is the what? The English or the Greek? No, not Greek, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's how we render it in the English. So, Yahweh is the covenant name of God. It occurs 6,823 times in the Old Testament, and it's first used in Genesis 2:4. And it means the self-existent one. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. Because a name contains the reputation of a person or thing, we should treat the name with the same respect as its reputation. I think I'm just reminded right now. Remember, part of the Ten Commandments is don't take the Lord's name in vain. Okay? That's one of the essential commandments. God's name is holy. God's name is something we need to honor and revere because it's not just a label. It reveals His character, His attributes, who He is, His reputation. And this brief teaching is primarily devoted to learning and appreciating God's character from His covenant names and the descriptive phrases He uses to reveal Himself to His people. And this is all going to make sense as, you know, to help us cultivate our devotional life with Him. When you look at the covenant names of God, it focuses on His loving kindness and mercy. It's interesting that whenever God reveals Himself, and as we will see here, He reveals His name as Jehovah, Yahweh, the I am that I am, but yet He often compounds it with another attribute of His person, His character, and His working. And these names reveal to us how He has moved and acted on behalf of His people. And so each of the names of God, so the name reveals who he is and what he has done for his people. And so the more you know the names of God, actually the more you will get to know God. Okay? And so what are some of these names? I think this is the exhaustive list, but I'm not saying that there are no other names by which God makes reference. But at least Yahweh or Jehovah compounded with other revelations of God. These are some of the... Yeah. I think it was Blackaby who said that. We get to know God by experiencing Him at work in our lives. And I believe this is true. You know, when we look at God as our provider, it's one thing to say God's our provider. It's another thing when God has met a need at their point of need, and you know God is your provider, isn't it? And it's the same sense of how we get to know God by experiencing Him at work in our lives. And so the first compound name that the Bible speaks about is in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, or Yireh. Okay? As it is today, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, or it shall be provided. So, the word provide is the word provideo, which means to see ahead. Isn't that interesting? We think of providing as simply God meeting our needs. But the word provide means that God sees ahead and knows what you need even before you ask Him and you're aware of that need. And here in this case, Abraham was commanded by God to sacrifice his son. Abraham, not knowing all that the Lord had in mind, he didn't realize it was a test. But as far as he was concerned, God told him to do it. And though it was obviously tearing at his soul, yet he obeyed God. And right at that moment when he was about to slay his son, he saw a ram caught by its horns in the thickets. And the Lord said, no, don't sacrifice your son because I know I've tested your heart. And you love only me and nothing else. And so the ram was provided. And he called that place, the Lord will provide. I believe this is interesting because this is the very first compound name of God revealed in Scripture, in Genesis 22:14. And I believe that revelation of God as a provider carries all the way through our redemption when we know that the Lamb of God was sacrificed, Jesus Christ. And we know that the very mountain in which the ram was sacrificed was the very mountain that Jesus Himself would die on when He hung on that cross. So when we call God, I don't know how many times I've called God as my provider, but that helps us in your prayer life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lord, you're my provider. You're the one who sees ahead of me. And there's something powerful when you invoke His name, when you're calling Him. How many of you know God responds? Think about it. You know, your own children. I don't know if you realize, your children love for you to pronounce their name. Did you know that? They love hearing their names. Okay? And I believe that's the same way. I think all of us love hearing our names too, don't we? I think that's just natural. About Christian or Noel or June or Bo.
Gregorio.
Ay, Gregorio ba, bro? Oh, bakit? Okay, oh, ibang context naman yun, bro. So, Jehovah Jireh is the first compound name to appear in the Old Testament. Okay? He's saying, I do not change, my ways do not change, I desire to meet your needs. How many of you love to call on Jehovah Jireh? Okay? Next is Jehovah Rapha, Exodus 15:26. This name means Jehovah heals or the Lord your health. God first revealed Himself as Jehovah Rapha at Marah. This is in Exodus 15:26. After 3 days traveling, the Israelites came upon water that wouldn't drink it because it was bitter. God showed Moses a tree, told him to throw it into the water so the water could become sweet. And it was here that God said, I am the Lord that heals you. The covenant name comes from Rofi, to heal. It implies spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. God heals from the inside out, spirit, soul, and body. Again, there's many comments that I could give, but I'm just giving you the gist of these different compound names. Okay? Anytime you pray, don't just pray generic prayers. Just say, Lord, you are Jehovah Rapha. And I've learned that. Again, it's not a formula, but maybe this is just a part of me. Every time I pray, I as often as I can remember, I draw on the specific name of God because I know He honors His name and He likes it. God is honored when you address Him as such with what you need. Yes, Bernard.
I was just thinking, because of the maybe connectedness theme that I have, the names of God might be also good to consider when we do the victory weekend. To inject it in that air, because most of our dysfunction, you need a healer. And most, and you were saying a while ago that the two most important things that we need to strengthen on a daily basis is faith and obedience.
Sure. Yeah,
and at some point, this, I think, could be a good resource for us to strengthen faith, which is the names of God, to know Him, character and nature.
Yeah.
And then Rapha, I mean, all of that, what we do there is victory weekend, it's dysfunctions.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's worth not just considering, but applying. I think even if you don't write it, I'm knowing this, you can actually incorporate it if you do. I mean, there's no prohibition for us to expound on what's written there. Our only constraint is time, but if you want to do that. You know, what's interesting also to me is... Even you know, the idolatrous nations had specific names. You know, Baal. Remember that? I know, June, you can help me here. Remember, they would have specific names to address Baal as such. You know, the god of fertility and this, and so many references. So you see this out of the religious heart of man. Even here, you know, in our own religious culture, after Edsa Revolution, they had a new name. Okay? A Lady of Edsa. In fact, I was telling, this was funny because I was telling Pastor Gilbert, you know, for those of you in New Belt, having to live with those floods in España, I said, do you realize that the España, there's the deity there is the Lady of La Naval? Okay? I think it was the battle when the British took over and tried to take over Manila Bay, and they had this battle and they won, and they, out of that victory, they named the Lady of La Naval, the Lady of the Waters. So is it kind of ironic? España floods all the time. So. Sa Manila, okay. Hindi sa Quezon City, ah.
Okay. Iikot natin pala.
Pwede rin, no?
Kaya pala eh.
Well, let's see what happens. There for an entire day as the battle with the Amalekites was fought. The Hebrew word Nisi means my banner or my covering, my protection, and also my victory. And you know this, you know, every time you know, last Sunday, just watching that game, that boxing match, again, it's heartbreaking, but remember that every time, you know, our national anthem is played. I mean, it's not just a song, but it's seeing that flag waving, you know, and it inspires us, isn't it? It rallies people. There's something powerful. I think one of the most powerful images ever was that, remember that Battle of Iwo Jima, where those soldiers were lifting up that American flag? From my understanding, I think I remember hearing that in the whether that's History Channel or Discovery, one of those, that picture was so captured the American people that it lifted up their spirit and gave them the burst of energy they needed to retake, you know, Pacific during that war. Yeah, that's what, it was so vivid. I didn't watch the movie. I don't know if you guys watched that, Battle of Iwo Jima. Was that Clint Eastwood? I don't know if it's, but anyway, that was, you know that picture I'm talking about? Yeah, those soldiers. Okay, Flag of Our Fathers, I think it was, yeah. Anyway, and it was, Yeah, now that I recall the documentary, I think it was really a barren land. There was Iwo Jima was it was no man's land, but it held so much. It had so much significance in that it marked wherever it was. I think it was in Japan, Pastor Dennis, the lower part of Japan. That it was a turning point. I mean, not a turning point, but it's like stepping stone, yeah, into taking back taking the nation. So, and there's something about a flag that rallies. And God is our banner. Hallelujah. He is the one.
Yes.
When we see that Him, you know, in a sense like that flag, it lifts our spirits up, and we can, you know, whatever weariness we've had in battle, when we call on God as our banner, He will lift us up to victory. Next is Jehovah Makedesh. Okay, Leviticus 20, verse 8. The Lord who sanctifies. To sanctify means to make whole and set apart for holiness. We know that the Lord is our righteousness. He imputes His own righteousness to our account. But He goes further. He works with our character to sanctify us, to make us whole and set us apart for Himself. So, again, this is a... part of reading my notes, this is an interesting... I don't want to speak too much into this because it's something that is new for me when I read this. But part of the notes that I was referring to, I just Googled it, you know, covenant names of God. And one of the teachings was, he said, many of these compound names, many of these names, we will get to know God in a greater and greater way the more we... the more we apply the principle of the Sabbath in our lives. Because if you recall, in the fourth commandment, he said, honor the Sabbath. You know, 6 days you shall work, 6 days you shall, 1 day you shall rest. And then, you know, since God rested on the sixth day, seventh day as well, then you're to rest. For I am the Lord who makes you holy. And that's really struck me. Could we be missing a dimension of getting to know God as our sanctifier if we don't honor that time of resting from our labors and drawing near to Him? Now, I know there are some groups now who are actually espousing observing the literal Sabbath. And now, of course, we know that our faith in Christ is not based anymore on special days and that. But... So again, I can't speak definitively on this, but I'm thinking now, Lord, is there a principle there? I believe we have observed the principle. You know, we observe the Lord's Day, which is a day where we worship, or we, you know, and I guess that's Sunday. But what do we do on that Sunday? I guess that's the question. If the principle is what's relevant rather than just the day. So I'm not speaking for or against this, I'm just saying, Lord, is there something we're missing if we're not really looking to what the Sabbath means and apply it in our lives? Because apparently, it is on the Sabbath that the Lord reveals His working in our lives in greater and greater ways. Now, I think that happens to some extent because, you know, that's why we have worship service, that's why we have the preaching, that's why we have all these things that go on. But anyway, so... Yes, June, please.
Actually, Pastor Manny, I've talked to some people who are observing the Sabbath. And even, you know, they are already Christians. And they try to make sense of this. I think it's the fourth commandment, okay, of the Lord. And the question is, how can we apply this kind of Sabbath also in our life now that we are Christians? And I basically explained to them that the Old Testament laws was expounded by Christ. Because whenever Jesus Christ says something about the law, it's actually He says, "This it has been said, now I tell you." In other words, Jesus Christ is the best exegete, okay, as we call it, the one who exegetes everything in the Old Testament. So when it says we have to observe the Sabbath, what about in the New Testament? How can we observe the Sabbath? It's not really literally a day, because traditionally we say that Saturday is our Sabbath or Monday is our Sabbath. But that's technically speaking, it's not really literal, because it's just one way of saying that we rest on Monday. But that's not really a literal Sabbath in the sense that how the Bible says it. But real Sabbath really is when you are in Christ, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy, and I'll give you rest." And therefore, when you say Sabbath, Sabbath is actually in Christ, because when a person has Christ in him, he's actually resting in Christ. If a person does not rest in Christ, that person is actually sinning, in a sense. Because nobody, no person in this world cannot find rest in anything. He only finds rest in Jesus Christ. Therefore, to expound on the Sabbath, Sabbath is actually Sabbath in Christ, which is resting in Christ.
Excellent. I like that. That's good. Palakpakan naman natin si Pastor June. June Divierte. Nagkataon na dyan si Dr. June Escosan din. Kaya sinama na rin sa palakpak, di ba? But thank you. I appreciate that. I like that.
Ano nga ulit?
So that's really the principle. And more than just a specific day. Okay. It's who do we find rest in? I guess now that I think about it, Hebrews, remember again, talks about a Sabbath rest where we rest from our own labor. So again, if we carry along that thought. Yes. Yes, yes. Very good. Good. Okay. Next. Teka, may klase pa pala kayo sa hapon, ano? Anong oras yun sa hapon? What time? Okay, so may time pa naman tayo. Okay, good. All right. Next, Jehovah Shalom. Okay. Judges 6:23, 24. But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abizrites. So, you know what happened? You know, an angel appeared to Gideon threshing wheat in the wine press. And, you know, the Lord told him, "You're a mighty warrior." And he said, "You know, what do you mean? You know, he made a mistake." Anyway, he asked for confirmation, and the Lord appeared to him, the angel of the Lord. And when he saw the angel of the Lord, which my understanding, I guess this was a theophany, so he saw the Lord, and so he thought he was going to die. And the angel spoke peace to him, and God spoke peace into his heart. God gave Gideon peace within his spirit before he ever won that battle. Peace does not come because of outward situation. Peace comes because of he who is inside of us. This is, again, peace is something that I think the world tries to look for. It's not just a cliche by the beauty queens. I think it is a sincere desire. Okay? In the words immortalized by the late Michael Jackson, "Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys playing with guns as kids play with toys." So in other words, peace is so elusive. And, so peace comes from God. Peace doesn't come by the difficulty of your circumstances. Is Pastor Dan Harder part of this class? No. Okay. Yeah. You know that his wife is... just went through an operation, and she is unfortunately unconscious. They were supposed to remove the tube to enable her to breathe. The operations were successful, but they're suspecting now she's been unconscious the last couple of days. And she keep her in prayer. And one thing that Pastor Dan did say, he said when this thing happened, he said the. You know, there's this peace that he couldn't understand, but it's the peace of God came upon him, and he's saying, you know, his life, her life is in God's hands. And every time you hear stories like this, you know, you wonder, Lord, can I really handle that? And I've realized this, you know, God's grace is always sufficient. We can't really identify with it unless we're in that situation ourselves, because the grace of God and his peace and all of that comes when we're in that very place of trouble and difficulty. So, in fact, why don't we do that right now? Father, we lift up Ikor to you. We thank you that, Lord, she is your daughter. She's a covenant woman of God. And Lord, we believe that you have already revealed your name as Jehovah Rapha. Lord, we don't know all things. Only you know all things, Lord, the days you've ordained for us. But Lord, our prayer is that you would give her the fullness of her days. Lord, I pray that you would come as Jehovah Rapha and manifest your power. Lord, although seemingly so difficult now in the natural to understand if she can still live, Lord, having even not been able to breathe for 20 minutes 2 days ago. Lord, we're asking, Father, that you would visit her. Visit even Dan right now, Lord, and his their little daughter, Father. Lord, let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard their hearts and minds in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, last couple, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. When we see the Lord as our shepherd, he will lead us, feed us, bring judgment, keep us from folly. He is our close and intimate companion and friend. Then seventh, if you notice, I've done this in progressive ways as the scripture has unfolded. No? Again, not for anything except that just chronologically written. So, Jehovah Sidkenu, or the Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 23, verse 5 to 6. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he is to be called, the Lord our righteousness. We see in this revelation that Jesus, remember, the branch is a prophetic description of the Messiah being a descendant of David. Jesus is our righteousness, and only through him can we live righteously and uprightly before God. Righteousness means the quality of being right. We know our past are like filthy rags, but Jesus swapped with us. He took our sins and destroyed the power of darkness. Then he gave us his righteousness. That's why every promise in the Bible is ours. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because we are clothed with this right standing with God. So God no longer looks to us through our sins. Then he looks at us through the righteousness of his son Jesus. This is one of those, I don't always say Jehovah, my righteousness. By the way, you don't have to quote the Hebrew name for it to be effective, okay? The English name is as good enough, okay? I mean, we're not Hebrew, we're Filipino, okay? So, ano bang righteous? Matuwid, di ba? Okay, so can you imagine our president prophesied the path of righteousness? I mean, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Okay, so anyway, but I invoke the righteousness of God every time I pray. There's not one day, I think, if I remember, you know, God, so I'm not exaggerating here. I know I cannot come to God on the basis of my own good works. So every morning, without fail, Lord, thank you that through your blood, Lord, I've been made righteous in your sight. Okay, it's not my righteousness, it's your righteousness. Let me tell you, that's a powerful, powerful basis for coming to God. Okay? And finally, number 8, Jehovah Shammah, Ezekiel 48, verse 35. And the name of the city from that day on will be the Lord is there. The Hebrew translation is Jehovah Shammah, speaking of God's abiding presence. Yeah, Jehovah Shammah? Kasama, okay. Kasama. The Lord abide means, the word abide means to stay, not to visit. This is the Lord's promise and pledge to his people that his presence would be with them. Ezekiel was prophesying probably while in captivity in Babylon. Remember, at that time, the temple had been destroyed. And, it was about to be destroyed, rather. And so, in the context of this prophecy, the Lord led Ezekiel to prophesy about a new temple, the likes of which the Lord's people had never seen before. After prophesying about this temple, the Lord said, the presence of the Lord will be there. Hallelujah. Now we know that that temple, that tabernacle, ultimately was Jesus Christ. And then when we put our faith, when we come to faith in Christ, we become that temple as well. And God promises he will never leave us nor forsake us. So what is the value of all of these names? Number one, the Lord is honored, as I said, when we call upon his name. But I believe the Lord is also giving us his name so that we can call upon his name and appropriate his provision in whatever it is that we need. You know, God calls us by name, by the way. Did you know that? God himself does that. He has a special name prepared for us, as it says in Revelation 2:17. So he expects us to call him by his covenant names. How often, you know, sure, we can call God, you know, we can call God, God, and Lord. That's fine. He is such. But wouldn't it be richer? Wouldn't it be much more personal? Thank you. If we were to call God by his covenant names. How many of you have terms of endearment with your spouse?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What do you call your... can I say?
Chululuts.
Ikaw bro, chululuts? Ano yung tawag mo?
Love.
Love. Okay. Love. Ikaw bro.
Sweetheart.
Ikaw bro.
Honey.
Honey.
Sugar.
Okay. Matapis. Sugar. Ikaw Christian.
Diabetic.
Ha?
Babe.
Babe, ikaw, ah, wala pa bro, sorry.
Wala pa na. Hoy.
Hoy. Ikaw, June, ano tawag mo?
Love
you. Okay. Ikaw, bro. Han. Mark.
My love.
My love. Dennis. Sweetheart. Splenda. Honey, okay. Boss. Ako, ano, Heart Sea. Kaya lang, malapit sa Heart Sea, di ba? June, ano tawag mo, bro? Ay, Ado.
Dar.
Dar. Ikaw, Jeff.
I don't know. 55.
Okay. Si Patrick. Okay. Okay. Alam ko si Jure, Bishop Jure, ano? Pangga, di ba? I think the point is made. I mean, there's something about a term of endearment that defines your unique relationship. Now, certainly, these are not necessarily just terms of endearment, but I think we can draw a parallel. This is the covenant name of God. This is the name by which God has revealed himself to us in relationship with him. And certainly, I believe the Lord is honored and the Lord is pleased when we call him by his covenant names. And the combination of calling God on God in his, to remember his covenant with us and claiming the appropriate name of God is a powerful way of invoking God's will. Addressing God by his covenant names in prayer, I believe, intensifies even the power of our prayers. And so, again, just in summary, the goal of this teaching has been to help us understand that the basis of our relationship with God is through a covenant. And God is a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. And when we understand who he is and the nature by which, the means by which he relates with us, certainly that can impart faith and confidence as we continue to walk with him. And my hope is that if this is not already a part of the way you walk with him, that this becomes more and more a part of your devotional life with him. And in my limited ability to apply these truths, I've seen his faithfulness in every part of my life and in the life of my family, and I believe in your lives as well. Okay? So let's just pray. Father, thank you for Lord, just not just comforting our hearts, but Lord, strengthening us, Father, for the days up ahead. Lord, when we see the landscape of the future, there's great dangers, but yet great opportunities. And Lord, what will make us strong is the knowledge that you are a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God.
Amen.
And so, Father, may we rise up to that which you have called us, to be a covenant people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Manny. My own take-home is that this should be a foundational class for our pastors. I think we can talk about that in our preparation meetings for ENSM. And yeah, how many of you have enjoyed that?
Yeah.
Galing, ano? Yeah. So today, we will celebrate. This is your graduation day. So, yeah. Wala nang year 3. Kasi December 21 na next week, di ba? And but we have plans to make adjustments, improvements on how we do staff dev for the pastors. Next year will be something different. I think more focus. The direction would be more specific. Kung anong ministry team mo.
Kami ulit yun, iba na.
Iba na yun. Iba na. Baka kayo na yung mga teachers.
Ayan. So game na. Game
so it's time to you for you to teach.
So
pray for us because it's still on the blue, drawing board. But your future staff dev will be more specific. Kung discipleship team ka, then doon, pastoral, ganun.
Thank you, Ado.
We're so privileged that Pastor June will join us for lunch today. Yes. So let's pray for the food. Thank you so much, God, for the 2 years of impartation and input. Lord, we know that your church, your sheep, your people will benefit a lot from what had happened in the last 2 years. Lord, continue to use this mighty man for the advancement of your kingdom. Bless them in Jesus' name and bless our food today. Amen. Amen. Amen.